This is Radio 4. It's just after 6:30.
Old Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Stephen O'Donnell as Gary the Demon, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
That's it. Welcome to hell, you miserable sinners. This is where you pay for your vile crimes, you putrid scum. This is where you cower before the forces of darkness for all eternity.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just practicing. 14 High Court judges have just died. They should be here in a moment.
14 at once?
Yeah.
Well, how did they die?
Ooh. Big gas explosion in a brothel in Streatham. I'm going to give their lordships a right going over. You know, fill them up with Vindaloo and then sew up their bottoms, that sort of stuff.
I could enjoy that.
Your satanic majesty's more than welcome to watch. I'll be tormenting them in the reception pit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Have you seen what I've done to that junior health minister?
Hey?
You know, the one who was always making speeches advocating care in the community.
No.
I've arranged for him to spend all eternity being shouted at by hundreds of men with shaggy beards and clothes made from wet newspaper.
There, nice one, yeah.
And that Californian cosmetic surgeon, the one who ripped off all his clients.
Oh, yeah.
I've given him a pair of massive, uneven breasts held permanently in a living bra.
A living bra?
Yeah, it's made of fire ants. Biting him to buggery, they are. Oh, come on, boss. Cheer up. You're Satan. If anyone should be enjoying himself, it's you.
Oh, I don't know.
I know. Let's get the film projector out and show King Arthur how he was portrayed by Richard Harris in Camelot.
Harry?
Yeah?
Does having the bottom half of a goat ever bother you?
Well, that's the way we're built. I mean, why should it bother me?
Well, it's a smell for a start. I mean, blue bottles circle our legs and then pass out. It's revolting. I mean, look at our bodies. We've got hooves, then goat's legs, then human upper torso, but covered with more body hair than can be found on the whole of Greek manhood, and all fetchingly topped off with green face, red eyes, and a pair of shrunken cow horns. I mean, the state of us. We look like something that's escaped from Porton Down.
Well, I quite like the tail.
Oh, yeah, the tail. Yeah, we walk completely upright, but we got a tail. That's a lot of bloody use,
though. Well, it comes in handy for sweeping up.
Of course, we've him to thank for this stupid design. You know, him, with a capital H.
Oh, yeah, him.
He couldn't just banish us to the abyss and let us keep the bodies we had as angels, could he? Oh, no. No, he had to put us in poxy fancy dress.
You've never been bothered about your appearance before. I know what's behind all this.
What?
The Professor. Ever since he's got here, you've been miserable. It's all that thinking he's made you do. It's not healthy thinking. It can make you go blind.
Oh, that's an old wives' tale, Gary.
It's true. Look at Milton. At it all the time he was under the blankets at night, thinking. And look what happened.
Gary, that is not a rational proposition.
See, you're even talking like the Professor. It's because you spend all that time with him.
I spend time with him because I'm trying to disabuse him of those two pathetic delusions that he's labouring under. Namely, one, that this isn't hell but some sort of dream, and two, that man is a noble creature as opposed to a contemptible shitehawk. I just have to prove him wrong on those two counts, that's all.
Well, you're not doing very well so far, are you?
Let's just change the subject, shall we?
All right. Here, I've just worked out what to do with them judges. I'll make them play nude volleyball, using a porcupine as a ball.
I was a beautiful angel, you know, with flaxen hair and wings like a swan. Do you remember my wings?
No, not really.
Great wings. I could always beat the angel Gabriel in a race. Down to Galilee and back, I'd say, whoosh! He never got within a trumpet's length of me. Are you sure you don't remember my wings?
Sorry, it all seems a very long time ago.
How long ago, would you say?
Don't know, it's hard to keep track of time down here.
You're right, it is hard to keep track of time down here because there is no time. At least not measurable time. E.g., you were revealing to me the full glory of your ignorance in a brain-numbing conversation about the causes of Milton's blindness. Now, when exactly did that take place?
Well, earlier.
Earlier, quite. That's as specific as we can be. We have no days or nights, weeks or years. Nothing that gives shape to things. What we need is a timepiece. Something to impose some temporal order on our formless chaos.
Well, loads of the damned have got watches on. I mean, some have got quite nice Rolexes, actually.
Yeah, but mortal watches don't work down here. They may be waterproof and shockproof, but they're not being transported to a new dimension proof, are they? No, we need to create our own kind of clock.
Well, without the sun or the moon or anything, how are we going to manage that?
Stand there and repeat after me. Tick.
Tick.
Top.
Top.
Tick.
Tick.
Top.
Top.
Tick.
Tick.
Top.
Top.
Now on your own.
Tick. Top.
Excellent.
Tick. Top.
Okay, now keep
tick.
That going.
Top.
Every 100 tick tocks, chalk top. A mark on the wall. Tick. We'll go metric, not more logical. Tick. So it's 100 tick tocks make a minute, 100 minutes in an hour, etc. We'll call this Satan top. Day, the tick. First of the month top. Of Devilember. Tick. Okay, keep it up, Gary. Top. And don't worry, top. I'll see to those judges tick. For you. Top. I'll fetch a porcupine tick. From stock.
Come on, admit it, I'm right. Come on, or I'll twist your head off.
Just on the rounds. Everything normal here, I see. One human being inflicting pain on another.
No, but we are just having a lively discussion, that's all, about capital punishment. You see, ow! I'm opposed to the death penalty, but Thomas believes hanging should be brought in for murderers, terrorists, social workers, and those people who wash your windscreen without asking.
Come on, agree or I'll bite your ear again.
Ow!
I'm the only one who's allowed to do any bullying down here. Let him go.
No!
Don't defy me, Thomas.
But I'm enjoying it.
All right, you ask for it.
Oh, my God, what have you done?
Oh, really? Don't you think that's going a bit far?
He was hurting you.
Well, yes, I mean, maybe so, but that's no reason to turn him into a cauliflower.
What's he turn me into? I can't see anything.
You're a cauliflower!
A cauliflower?
Oh, very lucky cauliflower. Not many of them are blessed with the power of speech.
You can't do this to me. I can't spend the rest of eternity as a vegetable.
Well, I'd say that represents something of a promotion for you, Thomas.
Look, please, I know he was being a bit unpleasant, but...
Oh, don't tell me. I know. You bear him no ill will.
Well... aggressive, but I think the aggression stems from insecurity.
I don't even like cauliflower.
You see, I think the problem is that deep down he doesn't like himself.
And then he's got better taste than I gave him credit for.
There's probably some trauma in his childhood.
Oh, here comes the excuse squad.
Well...
Look, Prof, like all people, Thomas is base because that's his nature. He came into the world like that. His DNA's got the word ratbag printed all the way through it.
All right, I accept there's a degree of genetic predisposition, but I still think environmental factors are crucial. Society exerts pressure that...
Oh, I see. It's nature v. nurture, the big match, is it? All right, Prof. You're coming with me. Soon put you straight. Thomas, you stay right here.
Oh, very funny.
Where are you taking me?
Up to the land of the living. Here we are. First stop. Hemel Hempstead Town Centre at chucking out time.
Are we invisible?
Oh, totally, yeah. Unless we stand against the pink background.
Oh, why is that?
No idea. It's an unexplained phenomenon that I discovered when I materialised in Barbara Cartland's bedroom. You should have heard the old girl scream. And two of her Pekingese dropped dead from shock, I'm pleased to say. Now this is the ritual we came to see. Observe how these fine young examples of English manhood are attempting to stove each other's skulls in.
Yes.
Not a pretty sight, is it?
Well, they're not all fighting, though, are they?
No, true. The ones with the really big bellies can't get close enough to trade blows. Now keep your eye on the one with the hair cropped in the shape of a swastika.
Yeah, what are you looking at, eh? You looking at me? I'll have you.
Barry.
Oh, see, what are you looking at, scumbag?
Barry.
Right, that's it. I'm gonna nut him.
That's your reflection, Barry.
Where'd he go? Come here, you chicken.
So, tell me, Prof, what environmental factor is that Neanderthal display?
Well, alcohol, of course. The drug society does so much to promote. I mean, these chaps are encouraged to drink more than they can handle, and then the alcohol lowers their inhibitions, and they...
Reveal their true natures, exactly. Nature one, nurture nil.
No, I can't
look,
agree.
Look, Prof, do you see any of those drunks doing origami? Or praying for world peace, or cuddling teddy bears? No, they're kicking each other's heads in, because when you remove the controls and social inhibitions, that's what humans like to do.
You just have to see the bad in people, don't you?
There goes Sainsbury's.
I still say environment's the key factor.
All right, come on then. Welcome to Bosnia. You probably guessed that from all the buildings that look like Swiss cheese. The one we're standing in used to be a hospital.
Who's the man by the window?
Sniper. He sits there all day with his rifle, just waiting for some little old lady to cross the square with her shopping, and then he picks her off. Like that.
Oh, God.
And he's a victim of his environment, I suppose, is he? Maybe he should go on Oprah. Mm.
Slobodan here is addicted to shooting defenseless old ladies. Join us after the break for Men Who Snipe and the Women Who Love Them.
Ah, but this one is definitely down to nurture. You see, this man has grown up in a cauldron of ethnic hatred. There's a long and complicated history that explains his involvement in this conflict.
Maybe. Doesn't quite explain that gleam in his eye, though, does it?
Can we go, please?
Sure. Now, where next?
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Hello? Tick-tock. Anyone home? Tick-tock, tick.
Down here.
Are you the cauliflower?
Yes.
Tick-tock.
What's all this tick-tock stuff?
Satan wanted a clock. Tick-tock. So I'm it. Tick-tock.
What's all
tick-tock.
That bobbing your head from side to side? You look ridiculous.
I do not. Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
Well, you look ridiculous to me, and I'm a cauliflower.
Have you seen Satan?
Tick-tock. He went off with the professor again. Garrick, have you noticed? He lumbers you as being a timepiece. He turns me into a particularly uninteresting vegetable, but he never does anything nasty to the professor.
Yes, I have noticed, actually. Oh, no, you put me off now.
And he's spending more and more time with that overeducated windbag while you do all the work. I ask you, is that fair?
Mr. Pope, a right-wing old pole.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to have all the responsibility for running this place, then by rights, you should have the authority. You should be the chief executive of Hell PLC, because you've got the necessary drive, flair, resourcefulness, and intelligence.
Was my last one a tick or a top? I think I should mention I'm not terribly good with heights.
Oh, right.
So standing on a window ledge on the 9th floor of a hotel in Bangkok is a bit problematical for me.
Look inside that room.
What?
That pink pimply bottom you can see bouncing up and down belongs to an American businessman. His sexual partner's a prostitute, obviously, very young. No more than a child, really. She's doing this to feed her starving brothers and sisters.
Well, I mean, there you see poverty, the biggest of all environmental factors.
So what's making him do it, then?
I'd need to know more about him.
His name's Earl Dorfman. He's got a loving wife, a well-paid job in real estate, a nice house in Bel Air, and 3 contented, chubby kids. So, what's he so deprived of that he ends up in a shabby hotel room doing this, eh?
Obviously he has a problem relating to women.
Get away.
It's likely he had problems as a child, perhaps in his relationship with his mother.
Go on.
Who may have dominated, indeed disfigured, his sexual and emotional development to the point where he switched off his emotional and came to regard women as objects. And so, tragically, he's driven to acts of humiliation and dominance to preserve his precarious sense of male supremacy.
Alternatively, just a git.
Yes, well, that is that as well. Look, do you mind? But being perched on this window ledge is making my head swim.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We'll go inside the room.
Oh, no. I didn't... Oh, no. No, oh, this is pure voyeurism.
Yeah, good, isn't it? Well, that's a new one on me. How are they managing that?
Oh, I suppose it's having the false leg makes it easier.
Maybe. Uh-oh.
What?
Look behind us. Pink wallpaper.
Oh, my God, it's the devil! He's come
for me! All right, calm down. Don't panic.
It's Satan himself!
Look, I'm just here for research purposes.
You see, Gary, the truth is big changes are needed around here. I'm talking about a putsch.
Very interesting. What's a putsch?
I'll tell you if you turn me back into my pre-vegetoid state.
No, I can't. I'll get into trouble.
Oh, go on, Gary, please. With the exception of being cooked and having a cheese sauce poured all over me, I think I've exhausted the full range of experiences available to a cauliflower.
No, I don't, because...
He's back!
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
See, bro, basically, you're all pre-programmed to fight, kill, lie, cheat. Hello, Gary. Oh, before I forget, we're about to get an unscheduled arrival from Bangkok. A naked American businessman. Massive heart attack. How's the timekeeping going?
Fine.
And what time do you make it?
84 minutes past 3. Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
Hang on.
Tick.
That's no good.
Tick.
Your tick was twice as long as your top, then.
Yeah, well, you asked me a question. Tick.
You did it again. Tick. The seconds are supposed to be the same length. This is no good. No good at all.
No, well, I'm doing my best.
Don't stop.
I will. This is a stupid idea. I shouldn't have this job. For a start, I can't hold a beat. You know that. From the time we had the staff karaoke evening, I kept getting ahead in Stand By Your Man, and all the other demons just stood around, started laughing at me.
Oh, set yourself. I'll find another timepiece. I know. I could use Thomas the Cauliflower.
Oh, no.
Catch a length of rope to him and then swing him as a sort of pendulum and... Oh, no, he's got maggots. See, Prof? Even when you turn them into collies, people are still rotten to the core.
No, I'm sorry. Taking me on that whistle-stop tour of the world's most inadequate individuals really didn't prove a thing on our nature versus nurture debate, you know?
All right, then. I thought of a more controlled experiment.
How about a drummer?
Hey?
To do all that tick-tocking. Someone with a decent sense of tempo.
All right, as long as it's not Keith Moon. You know what he's like, just trashes everything. You thought he'd calm down a bit, but no. Prof, you come with me, we're going back up top.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just wondering if I could possibly stop being a cauliflower.
Oh, yeah, of course. There.
Thank you.
Come on, Prof.
Excuse me, but I don't appear to have any limbs.
Aubergines don't have limbs, Thomas. Hold tight, Prof.
This is a fascinating process, this dematerialization. How do you break down our molecular structure?
Well, I use beta radiation to ionize the positively charged subatomic particles that bind our essential cellular structures.
Ah.
That and the magic word. Ah, here we are. A quiet, leafy street in a tranquil Surrey suburb.
That's very nice.
Well, this is where Thomas grew up. It's so easy to see why he turned out the way he did, isn't it? Didn't stand a chance. The poor lad had to scratch and claw his way out of the mean streets of Godalming. It's a jungle here, you know. The squalor, the deprivation. Sometimes these people go for days without a single croissant.
Hey, where are you going?
To church, of course. Come on, come on. There's some room at the end of the pew there.
But we are still invisible, aren't we?
Well, I think we'd know by now if we weren't, don't you? I haven't been to church for ages. Not since the murder of Thomas a Becket. Fact, isn't it? Very good turnout. Must be on songs of praise. What's the matter? Oh, I don't believe it. Are those tears in your eyes?
Well, this hymn always does this to me. Every cup final, I just fill up.
Sissy.
Well, it's very moving. Don't you find it moving?
Don't be silly. Why would it move me? Just a stupid, stupid song.
Oh, shh.
They can't hear us. Goody. It's the sermon.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. And Satan took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple.
That's wrong for a start.
If you are the Son of God, he said...
It was the second highest point of the temple.
Throw yourself down. For it is written...
For it is written. As if I say something as naff as that. It makes me sound like Charlton Heston.
Now, what are we to make of the story of Christ's temptation?
See the vicar?
Hmm?
That's Thomas's dad, that is.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, no. So, you see, Thomas was raised according to good Christian principles by man of the cloth. Yet he still turned out a scumball. Another win for nature over nurture?
Not at all. Just because he's a vicar doesn't mean anything. For all we know, there could still have been brutality in the home or lovelessness.
I knew you'd say that, so I've got something else to show you. And here we are, the perfect suburban home.
Who's that woman?
You'll see.
Darling, it's okay, I'll do the dishes later.
It's all done.
Good grief, it's Thomas.
Correction, Thomas's twin brother, Clive.
Well, he's very like Thomas.
I'm just off to distribute blankets for down and outs.
Not that like Thomas.
Poor souls, it's a freezing night.
Yes. Well, don't go giving all your money to them this time. I don't want you walking all the way home again.
I might visit the cemetery on the way home. Check Thomas's grave hasn't been vandalized again.
It's a disgrace. I don't know why those people keep doing that.
Well, he did raid their pension schemes. A lot of them are homeless now.
Yes, but he's dead and gone and, oh, I don't know.
Now, don't upset yourself. He's gone to a better place.
I love it when they say that.
They're surprisingly good at volleyball, these judges, aren't they? Oh, right in the groin. How do you see this game going?
What, from the ground level aubergine perspective?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
How long are we going to have to play this?
What's the score?
807 points to 806.
You've nearly finished.
Oh, good.
The first set.
Have you, thought any more about my proposal, Gary?
Eh?
The putsch. You take over as Prince of Darkness. Put your feet up. Take it easy while I run this place for you.
How do you mean?
Well, for instance, earlier, you had to go and force your demonic attentions on Marilyn Monroe, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's tedious, menial work. You shouldn't have to do that. I could do that for you. Similarly, the tormenting. It's not good use of your time for you to torture, say, the professor. But I'd be more than happy to take that off your hands.
Yeah, I'll never get to torment the professor, though. He's Satan's favourite. Wait, you lot. Here's a new porcupine. That one's lost a lot of its quills.
Ow! Bye, sir.
I hate favourites, don't you? My brother Clive was always the family favourite, yes. Clive was the golden boy. And why? Just because he smiled and laughed a lot and never played staple the cat to the fence. You want to be careful. The professor's turning into Satan's golden boy. And where will that leave you, eh? But it doesn't have to be that way. Not if you wait for the right opportunity.
You're not trying to manipulate me, are you?
No.
Oh, good. Because I'm a bit stupid and I just got to check sometimes.
Understood.
Oh, look at them soppy kissing.
Well, I think it's rather touching.
Now, you take care of yourself. Oh, don't be late. Your mum's calling round.
Right. She's missing Thomas dreadfully.
I know. She can't stop talking about him. But yesterday, she was reminiscing about how just moments after you two were born, she caught him trying to strangle you with the umbilical cord.
Yes, that was Thomas, a real character.
I love you, Clive Crimp.
No, let's go before there's more of this stuff.
No, wait.
Darling, I've got this for you. I bought it on an impulse.
Diamond necklace.
It shines almost as bright as my love for you.
Ah.
We have to leave now. I feel physically ill. home again? Oh, look. There's Gary and Thomas the aubergine watching the volleyball. Well, Thomas isn't really watching it, but he can probably feel the vibration. So, Prof, you have to agree? Clive was the perfect control to our little experiment. A twin brother, identical, same environmental factors, same upbringing, and yet so different from Thomas. Kind, loving, compassionate.
Aha! Aha! But, yes, I've got you here. All right, yes, Clive appears to make a strong case for nature over nurture. But, surely Clive's very decency disproves your other great claim, that mankind is inherently base. After all, you said it yourself, he's a kind...
Loving, compassionate, hypocrite and adulterer.
Adulterer?
Oh, yeah. He's got several mistresses. Didn't you spot it? The necklace was a dead giveaway. Yeah, men who are prone to extravagant romantic gestures are invariably adulterers, yeah? Or just look at Christa Berg.
Well, I mean, I used to go in for romantic gestures, and I never committed adultery.
Yes, well, you seem to be the exception to all the rules. I'm beginning to wonder if you're an alien.
And why is Clive a hypocrite?
Because he wears all his feelings on the outside like badges. But, nonetheless, he's turned out very different from Thomas. And Clive is merely unappealing, whereas Thomas is, well, there's not an adjective that does the job, really, is there?
All right, then. Here's another obvious flaw in your argument. If, as you claim, man's nature is inherently and unalterably vile, then how come things sometimes get better?
Eh?
Well, I mean, according to you, man's history should be a continuous descent into darkness. And yet, quite often, humans step back from the brink. I mean, look at Northern Ireland, the Middle East.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't turn any cartwheels just yet. The fat lady hasn't sung in either of those operas.
Well, look at South Africa, then. I mean, look at Mandela. 30 years a prisoner and no bitterness in him.
Oh, yeah, you should hear him when he's on his own. He's got a white cat called De Klerk and he kicks it all around the room.
And there's one more massive inconsistency in your position.
Yeah, go on, then.
Well, if for a moment we accept your claim that man is born bad, then it's neither fair nor logical to punish him. I mean, if he's got no free will, you're just punishing him for being something he can't change. His nature. In which case, what is the point of hell?
Well, I don't know. I just work here. How would I know the point of this place? Ask him, with a capital H, old Mr. Omnipotent. He seems to know everything. But funnily enough, when he banished me to the eternal void, he forgot to give me the help sheet that I could present to the damned on their arrival. You know, 20 things you should know about hell. So don't go on at me with your questions. I didn't ask to be sent here.
Ah, it all falls into place now.
Does it?
You want to see humans as degenerate with animal natures because that's how you want to see yourself. Because that's the easy option. The alternative is that you actually have free will and that you chose the course of action that condemned you to this never-ending emptiness.
Oh, hello. Suddenly we're Dr. Anthony Clare, are we?
You're in denial.
I deny that.
You're caught tortured by the thought that you could have stayed in heaven. So you hide behind this idea that no one can escape their nature.
Yeah, this is all very interesting,
and Rob, that's why you need us to be evil and irredeemable. We are mirrors of your own self-loathing.
I've suddenly grown very tired of you. And as you've rather abused the privilege of conversation with your ruler, I'm afraid you will have to be punished.
I see.
Take off your clothes and go tell their lordships they got one more for volleyball.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Well, how was I supposed to know he was a jazz drummer?
Have you stood the professor upside down in that barrel of pig bile?
Yes, just as you ordered.
Good, I've been too soft on him. Mouthy old duffer.
I'd rather got the impression you liked him.
I'm Satan, Gary. I don't like anyone. I'm incapable of liking. Hating and destroying I can do. Sowing discord, I'm good at that. I think I'll go ring Will Carling again, using Princess Di's voice. Then I might nip along to Camelot's office, you know, rig the numbers so that Pol Pot wins the jackpot.
You're sounding more like your old self.
Or maybe I'll send the Pope a fax saying, sod off, you Fenian bastard. Yours, Ian Paisley. On second thoughts, no, he probably gets those all the time, doesn't he?
Boss?
Yes, Gary?
What's a putsch?
A putsch? Well, how can I explain? Well, supposing, for the sake of argument, Thomas were to suggest that you and he combine forces to try and seize power from me and rule this kingdom of darkness, that would be a putsch.
Oh, right.
Putsch. It means an ill-advised rebellion, Gary.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
My pleasure.
Boss, can I ask something else?
Go on.
Why are you wearing trousers?
Because I got fed up staring at these poxy goat's legs, that's why. How do you like them? 70% cotton. I think they're rather smart. I got them off Thomas.
Won't he need them, then?
Tapeworms don't wear trousers, Gary.
You mean you turn him into a...
2-foot-long tapeworm, yeah.
He'll be a bit upset about that.
Well, he will be when he realises, yeah. I think he just did. He's very loud for a gastric parasite, isn't he?
Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Stephen O'Donnell as Gary, with Philip Pope, Michael Fenton Stevens, and Felicity Montague. The program was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
And you can hear episode 5 of Old Harry's Game at the same time next week.